You guys been enjoying Brent leading us in worship this weekend, huh? You want to know why you enjoy it so much? Because not a thing he does is about himself. It's all about Jesus with that guy. And he's a real deal. I love him. So you guys remember last night we talked about, hey, we're going to commit to being faithful to whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in our life. We're not going to put up a wall. We're going to step into it, right? You guys still with me? Anybody here think they were here by accident this weekend? Yeah, if you do, I'll just tell you you're wrong. God designed you to be here this weekend. I think God's got some, he's doing some great work, man. I'm hearing what God is doing, and I'm excited because I know God's not done yet. So tonight, as we sit here, I want you to just get comfortable for a minute. Kind of just get in your own space. And I want you to just, if you want to, as I do this beginning part of our time together, if you want to close your eyes, because I'm going to be telling a story, so you can enter into that story and put yourself there, or just focus, and let's dig in. Are you guys ready? So imagine with me, if you will, you're invited to a very special poker game. The directions to the game were given to you on a simple white piece of notepaper. And as you walk along down the street, you see the reflection of the streetlights in the puddle of water left behind from the rain earlier that afternoon. And you look up and you read the numbers on the building in front of you. And they match those that are on the paper. And the directions say, go around back. So as you round the corner to the back of the building, you see the stairwell that goes down to a basement door. And as you walk down the stairs, you can hear the moisture underneath the soles of your feet. You knock on the steel door, and as the sound goes wafting off into the night air, the door opens. The man guarding the door looks at the note in your hand, and he motions for you to enter. You walk into a dark room except for a bright light that is illuminating a card table. You see four men and a dealer sitting at the table. You hear the sound of mumbling coming from the players and the sound of chips being stacked and counted. There's a table in the corner with some refreshments. You go over and you pour yourself a cup of coffee. And you grab a seat in this folding chair to watch the game. And as you start to watch, you see that they've just gotten to the point where each man had to decide what his final move was going to be. The dealer taps the table in the direction of the man on his right. And you see the man exhale this great breath. And he says, it's too rich for my blood. And he throws his cards into the middle of the pot. The dealer then taps the table in the direction of the man next to him. The man throws in a handful of chips, and he says, I would fold while I could, fellas. And then it was the next man's turn. And you could see sweat build up on his brow, and you could see his hands shake as he just takes a handful of chips, and he puts them in the pot. And you could barely hear him mumble these words where he says, I hope my hand is good enough. Finally, the dealer taps the table in the direction of the man to his left. And the man immediately smiles from ear to ear. Overcome with great joy, he bursts out, I'm all in! And he pushes all of his chips into the center of the table with no hesitation. The game is over, and you watch an odd thing take place. The first man that folded, he picks up all the chips that are in front of him, which is every chip that he started with, and he puts them into a backpack and he leaves the room. The man who told everyone else that he was winning, he goes through the pot and he picks his chips back out. He places them in his pockets and he leaves the room. The man who was hoping that his hand was good enough, he sat there for a while staring at the pot with his head down, almost in disbelief. He left his chips in the pot, but he took the ones that were still in front of him. He stands up, he shakes the dealer's hand, and then he leaves the room. Other than the dealer, the only man left in the room was the gentleman that was all in. And he wasn't even looking at the pot. He was looking at the dealer with great joy, peace, and hope. He left all his chips in the center of the table. He stood up, hugged the dealer, and then left the room. So you take your coffee and you go over to the empty table. The dealer motions for you to take a seat. So you pull out one of the chairs and you sit down. And you start the conversation by just shaking your head. And the dealer simply says, "You have questions?" So the guys who lost took their chips and went home. Except for one guy, he left some chips and he took the others with him. But the one who left, the one who won, he left all his winnings, all the chips in the center. And then he hugged you and left. And you say, "I must say, I've never seen a poker game end quite like this before." The dealer sat there shuffling the cards. And then a smile appeared on his face. And he says to you, "You want to hear something funny?" "Sure," you say, not knowing if you're ready for what he's about to tell you. He looked up from the cards and he looks at you and he says, "I dealt them all the identical winning hand. They all had the exact same five cards." "Then how come only one of them won?" you ask. "Well," the dealer says, "the first man's like the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16-30. It says, just then someone came up and asked him, "Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" he said to him. "There's only one who is good. And if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he asked him. Jesus answered, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "I've kept all of these," the young man told him. "What do I still lack?" "Well, if you want to be perfect," Jesus said to him, "go, sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." When the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished and asked, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter responded to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you. So what will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And the dealer goes on to tell you, says, "You see, the man had the most chips. He was very short-sighted. He saw more value in what he owned in this world versus what treasure he could have in eternity. It's a very hard thing to truly give up everything when you think that you have more than is being offered to you." Jesus puts it another way in Matthew 16:24-26. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life?" The dealer goes on and says, "That man thinks he won because he'll get what he wants in this life. But really, he lost everything of real value, even his very soul." "What about the guy that bluffed?" you ask. "Oh, yes," the dealer said. "He was neither hot nor cold, was he?" Revelation 3:16 says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth." See, he did not really believe. Sure, he went to church with his family. He sang songs. He went to a few men's breakfasts and other events. He helped with food for the poor, and he gave an elderly woman a ride to the grocery store once in a while. But he never truly believed that he had a winning hand. He was kind of in it for himself. He was in the proximity of the truth, but never had faith. Kind of like a guy named Judas, who was one of Jesus' disciples, who did ministry day in and day out with Jesus. But he was just in proximity. He never really believed in Jesus. And he was in it for himself. Well, what about the guy that was hoping he had a winning hand, you ask? I dealt him the same cards I dealt everyone else. But he didn't think it was enough to win. So before you walked in the room, he asked me for some more cards. And he gave me two of the cards he had, and I gave him two new ones. What he did not understand was what we're taught here in Ephesians 2:8-9. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. That guy's trying to be good enough to win, to do more good than to bad, and hope that the cards fall in his favor. You cannot work or you can't do anything to win. Only by faith that he was dealt was good enough. So you ask, that guy that was all in knew this? The dealer says, yeah. Why would anyone go all in? Because they know they won. They know it. And that guy went all in, knew, and he had faith in the one that went all in for him. John 3:16-17 tells us this, for God so loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The guy that was all in believed something that Jesus said that the others did not believe. That's John 14:6. And Jesus says, told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to truly win, the dealer says, and that is through Jesus. Not through works, not through being good enough, not through anything else. You can never, ever be good enough. The dealer stands and he starts to put on his coat and he says, you know, each man arrived to the game owing a debt that they could never pay. And that debt was paid for them. And the only way for that debt to be forgiven was for those guys to believe in that winning hand. And all their debt would be considered paid in full, owing no more. And as he says that, you start to notice what's written on the chips in the center of the table. There's words. One said heart. Another one said emotions. Another one said intelligence. Another one said my family, my thoughts, my money, all my possessions. The dealer picks up the deck and he deals you five cards face down and he walks out of the room. You pick up the cards and you look at them one at a time. The first card has on it a J. And then the second card has an E. The third card has an S. And then a U. And the last card has an S. Man, here's the truth. We have a holy creator God, and we are made in his image. But mankind wanted to be God for ourselves. They wanted to decide what was best. And in that, we rebelled against God and we sinned. And that sin caused a separation from us and our creator. Now, sin is an archery term. It means to miss the mark. And the mark was God. The mark was perfection. And God hates sin. When we live in contrast to who he is, and we live in that rebellion, man, God hates it. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned, every one of us, and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us, though, also the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God and all that is good. We owe a debt for our sin that we have earned, and that is death. Eternal death. But see, God is two things. He's just, so justice must happen for our sin. His wrath and his judgment must come against sin. There must be a death to pay for the sin, because he can't just ignore sin, because if he does, that compromises holiness. He's not God, is he? He can't ignore it. But not only is he just, Scripture teaches that God is also love. So in his love, he sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. He took upon himself the sins of all time. And see, only Jesus could do this, because he was not half man, half God. He was fully man and fully God. And he was sinless, without sin. And if somebody who wasn't divine tried to die for our sins on the cross, he'd only be dying for his own sins. And he would have stayed dead. But Jesus died for our sins. He could take that on because he was sinless. And because of that, he had perfect victory over death. And he rose again from the grave. And he is alive today. His resurrection is our promised resurrection. But there's only one way to have this gift of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to turn to Jesus, though, not just an escape from hell, but we get to surrender our lives to him, live for him, follow him, repent, ask for forgiveness of the sin and the wrong that we have done, and then we receive this gift in us, the Holy Spirit. And that is blows my mind every time, because God then dwells in us. And we enter in this most amazing relationship with our Creator God, most powerful, supreme being ever. And we get to have be called friends with him, joint heirs to the kingdom of God. We get eternal life. But even here on earth, where there was once fear, where we once had doubt, where we once had chaos, it's now replaced with hope, peace, love, and joy. Guys, you're sitting at the table, cards in hand, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Is the cost of Jesus too great? Following him is not easy. But boy, is it worth it, with no regrets. Are you playing games for pretending to be the guy, but you're not really the guy? Making it look like you're there, but you're not? Just going through those motions? Are you in the place maybe where you're trying to work your way to heaven, be good enough? Man, we all fall short. We can never be good enough. If you're not the all-in guy, I ask you tonight, aren't you tired? Some of you guys are walking around and you're carrying so much with you. You're walking around in anger. You're angry at your circumstances. You're angry at people who hurt you. Some of you, your family might be a mess. Maybe you feel hopelessness. Some of you have majorly screwed up. I don't know your story. Maybe you've gone out on your wife. Maybe you've saturated your life with porn. Maybe you're so hurt, you're that person that's going around hurting other people, because we all know hurt people do what? They hurt people. And you're just, It doesn't have to be that way. When we receive Jesus, when we surrender to him, we're made new. Scripture tells us the old self is gone. And the new creation is made. We're a new person. We're being made new every day. Do you want the new? And whoever you are at the card table, you can be the all-in guy tonight. Jesus, take it all. My heart, my life, my family, my house, my bank account, my car, all my relationships. It all belongs to you. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I'll tell you a secret, guys. When I truly surrendered all those things to God, all those things became better and sweeter. I want to end with this. And this is truth. One day we'll all stand before God. On that day, it's either going to be the best day ever, or it's going to be the worst. We'll either hear, good job, my good and faithful servant. My son knows you. You know my son. You have eternal life. Or he will say, you know not my son. I do not know you. And you will have eternal separation from God and all that is good for all eternity, because you would have died in your sins. It doesn't have to be that way. You can go from death to life today. So I tell you, you know the truth. You've been told the truth. You can't stand before God and claim that I didn't know. So what's it going to be? What are you going to do about it? I know what Jesus wants you to do. God's heart is that not one would perish. So are you ready to quit folding? Go all in. You want to quit bluffing and just going through the motions and pretending? Then truly surrender. Be free and know that Jesus is enough and he's the only way. Are you all in tonight is the question. So I'm going to pray tonight and we're going to pray together. And I know God is at work. And we'll give you an opportunity that if you've never really sat at the foot of the cross and surrendered your life to him before and said, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I've lived in rebellion to you of my sin. And Lord, I know I need a Savior. And I know that you are the only one. Would you forgive me? I believe in you and I want to follow you. And you know what his response is going to be? Absolutely. With open arms. And you're going to feel an embrace from the Savior. And when you do that, you now have the attention of God Almighty, the Father. And he knows you. And everything will change because that old self, hold on, because it's going to become a new one. That old self is gone. And you get to walk in freedom and life, free of the bondage of sin and strife and pain that you've been suffering alone with no hope. And now there's hope, a hope that we know is real. It's a reality. You guys ready to pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us. Thank you. God, you could have wiped us out and started over. But you said, no, I'm going to send my son to save my creation because I love them. Thank you for that. Thank you, God. Thank you for a God that you are who you are, that you're just. And so justice has to happen. But instead of us, after we put our faith in Jesus, instead of getting your wrath, we now get your love, your mercy, your grace in our life. Thank you, God, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for reconciling myself to you. Thank you for the sanctification as I become more and more like you. Thank you for your gifts every day that you give to your children. Blessed and loved beyond measure. So tonight, God, if there's guys here that are struggling in pain, struggling in guilt, guys that are cruising along, doing okay, maybe they think, but now they see, no, I need a Savior. I pray that tonight they would give their lives to you. They would surrender to you. And they would experience peace that passes all understanding. A peace that comes only from you. That, Lord, that Jesus, your peace would reign in their hearts. So guys, I'm going to give you a chance right now. Pray along with me. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, as he's brought you to this point, and the Holy Spirit is right there saying, come on, be my child. Be adopted into my family. Would you step into obedience tonight and surrender your life? And if that's where you're at, pray this prayer. It's so simple, but it means everything. Jesus, God, Heavenly Father, I am so sorry for in my sin how I've rebelled against you. I'm so sorry how I've chosen to live for myself and not for my Creator God who loves me, who deserves King of Kings, Lord of Lords, deserves my worship, deserves everything I have. I'm so sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Forgive me. And I surrender all to you, Jesus. I give you my all. No negotiating, no holding back. I give everything I am, everything I have. I lay it at the foot of the cross. I surrender it to you. Maybe a guy's here tonight, he's been bluffing, going through the motions, maybe fooling his family, maybe even some ways fooling himself. But God, we know he hasn't been fooling you. So if that guy's here tonight, I pray that you would also pray, God, I'm done pretending. I want to know you for real. So work in my heart for real. And God, I'm so sorry. I too surrender my life to you. All that I am, and I'm sorry for my sin. And I place my faith and trust in you. You alone are the Savior of the world, Jesus. You alone are worthy of my praise and for me to follow. And I give my life to you this day. God, I pray over these men, that those who have prayed these prayers tonight, that this would be real. And this would not be a fleeting emotion, but it would be because of truth that reigns in their heart. The truth of the gospel, the blood of Jesus, the power that you have to transform us into new creations. I pray that, God, that lives are changed tonight. We love you and we trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing one more song. And I don't usually do the eyes closed, heads bowed, raise your hand if you put your faith in Jesus tonight, because all we're teaching is people to hide Jesus in their life. If you had a real transformation tonight, man, we should be excited. And we want to celebrate with you, and we want to pray for you. I get this question a lot. Aren't you nervous that no one's going to stand up? I said, no, because it's not my job. That's God's job, right? Because I'll guarantee you, if no one stands up, God's still at work tonight in a great way. But I would challenge you, start your walk with Jesus off by saying, I'm all in. Do it now, so you'll do it even when you go down the hill. There's something about publicly acknowledging Jesus. We do it when we get baptized. We do it when we share our testimony. So that testimony starts tonight. So if you prayed that prayer tonight, I would ask you, man, I don't know where you were, but you're in a new place now, stand up and let us celebrate with you guys. Stand on up. Let's celebrate. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, that applaud is not for you, right? That applaud is for God, right? And you guys, I don't know what your story is. Maybe I get to hear it this weekend, but I'll say this to you. Men, praise God for you. Praise God for you. Be obedient to him in stepping into this. We're going to close tonight with a worship song, and this song is a song of worship, and it's also a song of celebration. So if you know these guys, you're part of their church, you came up with them, as we start this song, surround them right now, give them a hug, and pray with them. Pray with them, because we have an enemy that doesn't want them to do well. So pray over these guys now. Thank the Lord.